Hello and welcome to another Blackpool Sticks podcast. Today we're joined by the NHS talking therapist from Lancashire and Cumbria. Hello.
Hello.
Pleased to meet you.
Do you want to just tell us your titles and who you are away from college, and then we'll get on to what we are in college in a second.
Yep, so my name's Grace. I'm a CBT therapist in the NHS Talking Therapies Fildermyer team.
And I'm David. I'm a CBT therapist as well for Lancashire Talking Therapies Fildermyer.
Cool. I think we'll get onto what CBT is in a minute and what talking therapies is as a whole shortly, but it's really interesting, this one, because this is the first podcast where our guests have been super organised, more so than anybody else. But also, coming from your roles, you've both been, I would probably use the word nervous, about the prospect of doing this, the nodding to us.
Yeah.
Nervous about coming in and doing this podcast. So, and I imagine a lot of students or a lot of young people come to you guys with nerves.
Yeah.
So, before we go anywhere else, how have you two coped with the thought of coming in doing this when it's made you anxious and made you quite nervous about doing?
I think sometimes it's about separating natural feelings of nervousness and anxiety, and then, you know, along with regards to work, it's about getting the job done. So I think there's lots of situations in life where people feel nervous and anxious, and those feelings are natural, and it's about sitting with them, realizing that it's okay that you're experiencing that, but not letting them get in the way of the job at task, I guess.
I think it's right. I think obviously it's really common to feel nervous and anxious, and obviously for me, and I think for Grace, doing this is really out of our comfort zone. But I think coming here was really important to kind of get the message through what we do and the support we can look to hopefully offer some of the students as well. Nervous, but pleased to be here.
And I think an important point, if you're listening to this, is that we all experience nervousness. And some people that you would maybe perceive that wouldn't get nervous in situations, clearly, as you've just heard, are nervous in situations, and again, CBT and a therapist and a psychology wellbeing practitioner, you would imagine, has the tools to be able to cope with nervousness. And the fact that both of you are sat in front of me right now, I would say you do have the tools to cope with it, and we'll get onto that in a moment about how we as humans can deal with nerves and deal with anxiety. But we'll jump straight into what you guys are here for in terms of college. So you said there about CBT. So for someone who's never heard of that term before, but what is CBT?
So cognitive behavioural therapy, or CBT, it's a talking therapy that can help you manage your problems by ideally trying to change the way you think and behave. It's most commonly used to treat anxiety and depression, but it can also be useful for other mental health disorders as well. It's an evidence-based treatment as well, so the research has proven that CBT is one of the most effective treatments. And it can help you in a number of different disorders, really, from kind of depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, panic disorder, phobias, post-traumatic stress, health anxiety, social anxiety, or even people struggling with general anxiety. It's also really effective as well to help people with long-term health conditions. So people with irritable bowel syndrome, chronic fatigue syndrome, or fibromyalgia, or even those with chronic pain as well. Although kind of CBT can't cure the physical symptoms of the condition, it can help people cope better with the symptoms to really help manage their quality of life.
Would you say CBT is a higher level, a high intensity support?
So there's two different types of CBT that we offer in our service. So there's high intensity and low intensity. And I guess the difference between those are that high intensity CBT is typically kind of focuses on past events and trauma, and low intensity focuses on the present moment or the present problem. Low intensity typically consists of 6 to 8 sessions around 30 to 40 minutes long, and high intensity is around 8 to 10 sessions being around 50 minutes long. So in our service, you don't have to have one-to-one sessions either. You can actually have online support. So there's different groups and different ways that you can access the information and materials. You don't necessarily have to talk about the problem. You can just receive the information and the tools on how to make the positive changes that you want to make.
So how does it work? You've said what it is, and but how does CBT actually work?
So CBT is based on the concept that your thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, and how you behave are all interconnected, and that negative thoughts and feelings can trap you in a negative cycle. What we aim to do is try and help you deal with overwhelming problems in a more positive way, ideally trying to break them down into smaller parts. And in treatment, you'll be shown how to change these negative patterns to improve the way you feel. Unlike some of the talking treatments, CBT mainly deals with your current problems rather than focusing on issues from the past. But ideally, we do look at the past enough to understand how your current patterns of thinking and behavior came about to start with. In treatment, then, CBT, we aim to teach you skills and techniques that help you shift your habitual patterns to new, more adaptive ones. At the outset, we establish the goals for treatment you want to achieve, and we'll kind of monitor your progress throughout treatment. And I think kind of what sums CBT up for me is that it's not the event which dictates how we cope, it's how we interpret and make sense of the event which is most important. And I think to give you a really good example of how our thinking can influence how we behave, I met two women in hospital who were given a terminal cancer diagnosis. Similar ages, similar backgrounds, similar lifestyles. One of the ladies kind of thinks about making the most of the time she has left. She travels, spends time with the people she loves, and enjoys her last remaining few years. The other lady, a really different kind of way of thinking, kind of what's the point? Might as well be dead soon. And she ultimately spent her last few years depressed, sad, and kind of waiting at home for the end to come. Two identical situations, but two very different ways of interpreting that event and kind of how they manage and live their life.
Cool, thank you. The reason why we're doing this podcast with you two is because you offer services to students that are in college at the moment, and we're going to restart today, next week, with CBT therapy in college, on the college grounds. So how, if I was a student, how would I refer into you? How would I know that your service and CBT is right for me?
So I think if you're having any problems at all, in terms of them, there might be things that have happened, bad things that have happened in the past that you want to go over. But even if you don't feel like there have been any big, major, bad moments of your life, maybe you're just feeling a little bit anxious or stressed. You know, that's the difference between low intensity and high intensity. We're here to help everybody with whatever the problem is. So I would say refer in, have a chat and see if we're the right service for you. You've got nothing to lose. The ways that you can refer in. So we do accept self-referrals. You can do this online, your GP can refer you in, or you can speak to a member of staff at the college who can do the referral with you as well. We're not actually employed by the college, so if you're about to leave college, you can still refer in for support. We offer support to anybody in the filed or wire area that's registered with a GP in that area that's age 16 plus. We do offer face-to-face clinics at the moment. We can also do video call or telephone to anybody that's interested in those options. Myself and David are based at the college running clinics here because we're both passionate about supporting young people to improve their mental health during difficult times like education, so that they can achieve the best results and have a better start in life.
So when Grace was mentioned then about speaking to staff in college about referring in, there is staff in the link, the wellbeing team in the link, and there are staff in the Focus Centre as well. But if you speak to any member of staff across college, they will be able to fill in the form to get your referral over to us, so we can have a look.
I was going to say as well, kind of when the students refers in, what will happen is they will kind of receive a confirmation of the referral, and they'll be asked to call and book themselves in for a triage assessment. And all that is just a telephone call whereby we ask various questions to establish what type of therapy is kind of be best to kind of meet your needs. You will then offer, you'll be offered that type of therapy and kind of go on the waiting list, and you'll be contacted when the appointment becomes available. And if you don't want to call us, if you struggle on the phone, for example, someone else can ring on your behalf. We're more than happy with that. Or you could even ask someone at college to do the referral with you as well. We want everyone here at college to feel they can access this service, and we'll always do our best to work with you, whatever is going on, to meet your needs efficiently. And obviously we're more than happy to make adjustments along the way to ensure all students feel comfortable and accommodated.
So if I referred in David, I'm sat in front of you now in your room in college. What does that session look like? What does it look like?
I think initially it's that meeting as well, in terms of just trying to, first of all, kind of establish kind of what's bringing you to treatment as well. For me, ideally as well, it's trying to just build that relationship, because I think when you work with a therapist, it's really important to be able to feel you can trust them. I think for me personally, I think the passion for me coming to work at Blackpool Sixth Form was, I've been a similar age at one point many, many years ago. I know what the struggles are like. And I've had counselling, I think, in my early 20s as well. And I think one of my therapists I got on with, but one I just didn't click with. And I think kind of that first meeting, it's, students will feel nervous, no doubt, but I think for Grace and I, it's the same position. It's meeting a new person, it's trying to like obviously find out kind of what the student needs support with, but I think we're really good at trying to build that rapport and build that bond and make students feel at ease.
Cool. So we've talked quite a bit there about your service and your offer to college. Just so you know, one of the things that Grace and David did when we said we were going to do that, those what we've talked about so far has been almost pre-prepared. So one thing I would say that when as therapists, when you've been put in a situation that you feel anxious about, you've come ultra prepared for what's coming. Now the next few questions, they don't know what's going to happen and what I'm going to ask. It's nothing to trip you up, don't worry. At the moment we're in the middle of mock week, so half of our students are in mock week this week and the second half are in mocks next week. And about exam stress and anxiety, that's the big thing at the moment. So if you was to have a student in front of you that said, oh, I've got a mock next week and I'm really worried about it, what would you almost give them advice wise? How can they try and overcome those anxieties for their mock exam next week?
I would say reach out to staff at the college, first of all, and find out if there's any extra support you can be given. We'd probably talk through what the worries were. If they're practical worries, then we could maybe look to put a plan in place to help you manage that. If they're worries that are perhaps out of our control, maybe we're worried about whether we're going to pass the test or not, we would maybe look at doing some grounding techniques, try and teach you to control the anxiety a little bit better in the moment rather than let it control you. And there's lots of different techniques and strategies that we can teach you to kind of manage that.
Much like you've done in preparation for this, you've come in prepared. And it's the same with going into an exam. If you go into it more prepared, you're going to feel more confident with what potentially is going to be on the paper, rather than way more uncertainty about, actually, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to answer questions or what could it look like. I've got two statements. I'm going to just say one at first, and I want your opinions on whether you think this is true or what. So there's only two things that humans, that we have control over. Only two things. One is what we do, so our actions, and the other is what we think. Would you agree with that? Do you think there's more to us than those two things, or what are you thinking?
It's really hard. I think we've kind of got limited control generally of ourselves, other people, and kind of the world around us as well. And I think to some degree maybe you can control your thoughts, but I think sometimes it's that initial thought will pop in your head which you can't control. But then maybe it's about looking at that and rationalising it and working out whether that's its reality or maybe it needs to be challenged a little bit, that thought.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like I agree with the statements that to some extent we can control how we behave and how we think. I think we can't necessarily control the thoughts that come into our mind, but we can definitely learn how to respond to them a little bit differently. So for example, if we are having an unhelpful thought, we can choose to place that next to a helpful thought, see which one helps us more, and choose to sit with the one that's helpful rather than unhelpful. And likewise with behaviour, if we've got negative behaviours, we're not stuck with them, we can change them. And a lot of the time it's about changing the way we think.
That was really interesting the way that you said that then, because you almost put them together. Because you said, if there's two things as humans we can control, what we do and what we think. Mm. You said what we think, but then what we do with that thought.
Yeah.
And reframing that and rephrasing that into something different can have a more positive impact on us. So it was interesting that you kind of put the two together there.
Definitely, and that's a big part of CBT. One of the interventions that we use is something called cognitive restructuring, which I say is just a fancy term for reframing our thought process. So it's like I said then, kind of changing the way we think.
And I think in terms of exams as well, the two things that we have control over, how we think about that exam potentially next week or tomorrow or this afternoon, and what we do about it. So going in prepared, knowing what the subject content, we can control those bits, but we can't control when we open that sheet or what it's going to say to us. Got another statement. You'd be glad to know. I can't remember who says this, but it's certainly not mine. Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react. So David smiled then. I'm presuming you've heard that before.
I have heard that before. I'm just trying to work out where I heard it from, yeah.
Yeah, it's 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to that. And I think the 90% of how we react comes into the first thing I just said about what we do, our actions and what we think. But would you agree with that? That 10% is what happens to us?
I wouldn't want to give you a percentage, but I think kind of, yeah, things in life will kind of happen. And I think it's kind of how we interpret and make sense of that. And I think kind of a lot of people with low mood kind of is that thought, isn't it? It's hopeless. What's the point? But then the behaviour is quite negative. Whereas if you can change that, behaviours are generally more positive and outlook and treatment's better. So I think, yeah, you can't always control what happens to you, but you can kind of manage how you kind of make sense of that. And I think depending on how you think about it will ultimately determine kind of how you manage it and move forward.
And a big thing about exams and exam pressure and stress, if you want to call it those terms, is the perfectionism. And going into an exam wanting to make sure that you can answer every single question absolutely spot on and correct. So perfection, we'll start in its most basic terms. For you guys, what is perfectionism? What would that be, perfectionism? And then we'll come down from there.
I think perfectionism is, there can be good and bad aspects of it. So, you know, when we want to make sure everything's perfect, there's obviously lots of pros to that. But the cons are if we're setting unrealistic expectations. So if we're going into an exam expecting to get full points on every single question, that might be, you know, really good, ambitious goal. Fingers crossed we do. But to some people, they might feel like that's an unrealistic expectation to set. And if we're setting those unrealistic expectations, then we're kind of setting ourselves up to fail, and then we're falling into the vicious cycle of perfectionism, where we are, you know, setting ourselves these really high expectations and then not meeting them, and then feeling bad, and then we're just maintaining that vicious cycle of it.
I think it's bad because you feel bad, and then you try and work harder to overcompensate, but you will never get everything 100% in life. Nothing can ever kind of be perfect generally. I think having high standards is good. I think for me, perfectionism is sometimes that unrealistic expectation, which kind of puts more pressure on yourself.
So if I was sat in front of you now, in a more therapeutic sense, and I said to you, I'm really worried about my exam next week because there's no way I know everything that I need to know. So I'm almost coming to that with a perfectionism attitude that I'm not going to be able to answer everything, but I'll be able to answer most. But I can't do everything. I'm not going to sit it. It's just too much. What would that look like from what tools and strategies would there be to maybe make me able to think, well, actually, I do know quite a lot.
I think if your thought process is I can't do it, it's too much, I'd start by kind of challenging that. So if you told me that you know most of it, you've done lots of prep, you've done your revision, there's a good chance that you're going to pass it, then I'd be challenging why you know, we'd be challenging the thought that I can't do it, or I'm not going to pass, when actually, when we look at the evidence, you've prepped, you've revised, you know a lot of the content. So I think, you know, we'd start with some thought challenging and then maybe just some grounding techniques to get us to a place where we're feeling more relaxed and able to think more rationally with, you know, the idea of that we're going to do our best and that's all we can do.
I think kind of when you get to the point is when you feel so anxious, it can be quite overwhelming. And I think, like Grace said, being able to kind of do some grounding or kind of relaxation just take the edge off. And I guess it's in treatment, it's kind of exploring that more, kind of where that kind of belief and values come from, and kind of working forward with that. Because I think if you have that later on in life, life will be really difficult.
I think it's been super interesting to have this chat. So thank you very much for coming to talk to us. Before we go, they both look then like they're off the hook. So I've got one final question. Student coming into college, and I won't just say about exams, but a student coming in through the door who's really nervous about what the day might bring, what would be your one, and it's only one, what would be your one golden piece of advice for a student feeling anxious about coming in through the door, regardless of whether it's exam or lesson or what?
I would say try and look for the positives. So naturally, when we're feeling anxious or nervous or low or stressed, we kind of focus on the threat or the current problem or the bad things. Whereas actually, if we look for some of the good things that happen in the day, we're swaying our mind towards focusing on those moments rather than prioritising the bad ones. So I would say look for the good whilst acknowledging the bad, but don't forget the good.
I think it's really hard, yeah. I think kind of maybe you just find one thing each day you're kind of grateful for.
So focus on the good and what you're grateful for. Thank you very much for speaking to us. If you do need to, or you do want to reach out and you want some support in college, like I said at the start, there's the link where the wellbeing team are based, or there's a focus centre where additional support are based. But speak to any member of staff in college and we can get you in touch with Grace and David if it's appropriate. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.